This is the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. I'm Sam Bridges and joining me this week is, well, an all new Tom Carndorf. You're very different today, Tom. You've got a nice new shirt on, new haircut, and I think your just general demeanour is different.
Seem to have changed by the by the sounds of it. I don't really, I'm not too sure what's changed, but new haircut, new shirt, new look on life.
Yeah, and guess what, listeners? He's smiling.
Wow.
What's happened?
I know.
What's happened
it's
to this guy?
It's all change. It's all change.
The self-proclaimed misery man, all of a sudden, he's dancing down the corridors and everything.
I know.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
And Leeds United haven't even won. So something else must be going on, not sure. But if you're checking out the 72.co.uk this week, a new look to the website as well, Tom, looking good.
Yeah, no, we've had a bit of a revamp, a bit of a refurb, and it looks all different. Looks much better, I think, as well. Bit of a new website, but the same stuff, same good stuff's on there that you'd find before.
Yes. but with an extra bit of smile, I think Tom's putting an extra bit of effort in this week. Now he's happy for whatever reason. We'll crack on though with the first section of the show, the big stories from the week, and we'll kick off with Nottingham Forest, Tom, who have strongly denied allegations that their owner, Fawaz Al-Hazwi, has been involved in recent team selections. It's something that often gets a label with foreign ownership in particular, but tell us more about this one.
Yeah, it's something that seems to pop up at a few clubs, actually. It's not just Forest, but there's been recent suggestions that the owner has been interfering in the team selection, etc., since they sacked Dougie Friedman last month and they've placed Paul Williams was in charge. But the speculation was that he was going to walk away because of the reporters' interference, but Forrest have come out in a brief statement and said that they deny all accusations and allegations of this sort. So it's an interesting one that's popped up, but like I said, it's not just happening at Forrest. It's something that's happened at a few clubs across the Football League. So you're not really sure with where these reports have come from and if they're true or not.
Yeah, it's worrying for the fans, though, isn't it, when they hear these kind of stories, and the manager, whoever he is, head coach these days, whether they're interim or not, that they can't be left to get on with their job.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of a shame if they are true anyway, because obviously with interims, we have seen interim managers come in other clubs and had a good spell and got the job. You know, Neil Redfern at Leeds, you think of Darren Way at Yeovil as well. He got the interim job and got the job on a permanent basis. So, like I said, it's interesting to follow and see what comes out about this in the coming days.
Yeah, well, watch the space on Forest, of course, still looking for that permanent manager. The odds there seem to be changing all the time as well. We'll move on to Bolton Wanderers, a regular in this section of the show. But after all their problems, it's kind of on-off the pitch, I suppose, this week with disciplinary action against two of their players.
Yeah, David Wheater and Liam Trotter, two players who were heavily linked with moves away in both January and the emergency loan window. Obviously, they had to try and free up a bit of finance there. They were fined, disciplined and warned after being caught on camera making an offensive gesture prior to Tuesday night's defeat to Brentford at Griffin Park. See, I didn't see what happened. I haven't seen it myself, but it's just another thing that they don't really need at the moment. The club look pretty much condemned to relegation now, so things like this, it's just like I said, something they don't really want happening. And with the way the club's going, you think even though the on-the-field stuff's not great, you just want it to stick to that.
Yeah, and for the fans in particular, we've seen it with Villa in the Premier League, I suppose. It just seems to be indiscipline with some of these clubs that are in crisis off the pitch. It seems to leak on the field and you get stuff like this. And again, it's the fans that are kind of left scratching their heads where they've got a team that seemingly don't care on the outside.
I think when you're in that position, like Bolton are, like you mentioned Villa there, obviously it is the players who have contributed to it. But if really there's nothing to play for anymore, are the players going to care? It's difficult to really say if they are or not when they look pretty much a League One club now anyway. And I think it's just frustrations, etc., things like that the season hasn't gone to plan. Obviously everything's happened off the pitch, but on it's not been great, and it's just another story that Bolton don't need at the moment.
Yeah, not good for Bolton. It's been an upturning fortunes for Rotherham United since Neil Warnock went in there. The new Championship Manager of the Month as well. Congratulations to Neil. It really turned things around. But as ever, he doesn't stay quiet, Neil Warnock, and he's branded the Bristol City head coach a disgrace for some pre-match comments leading up to Tuesday night's draw.
Yeah, Neil Warnock, obviously a character, not afraid to say what he's thinking. But Lee Johnson said that he wanted his team to win the game for aggression, good football or intimidation. And Warnock took a bit of an exception to that. Obviously, it was a 1-1 draw in the end, but Warnock wasn't happy whatsoever for the comments. He basically said that Lee Johnson did his team talk for him. He stood up to the intimidation. I think it was him or Blackwell brought a newspaper into the press conference. I don't know if it's that one, but that seems a very old-fashioned thing to do, to bring in a newspaper and read everything out and point out the comments that were made.
Yeah, but it seems to be that old-school approach that's working for Neil Warnock at the moment. It seems to maybe there's something there from the past as well. Obviously, Lee Johnson is in charge at Bristol, and he said, like father, like son, in reference to Gary, of course, his dad, a manager. So maybe a bit of history there as well between the Warnock and the Johnson family.
Potentially. Like you said there might be the link with the father. But then Neil Warnock's hardly a quiet manager anyway. I'm sure he's been quite outspoken in the past anyway, so I think it's a bit... Can he really say or criticise another manager for what they say, particularly for the intimidation side of it, where I watch Neil Warnock's Leeds get two red cards, three red cards a game.
Mm. Yeah, but Neil Warnock is rather like you at the moment. He's a happy-go-lucky Neil Warnock. He's just coming in there, he's enjoying himself, he's having a good old time at Rotherham. So he's not the serious old Neil Warnock that we had at Leeds or...
Great way to start the weekend United. To be compared to Neil Warnock. Fantastic.
I'll bring you crashing back down to earth. And you mentioned him before, Darren Way at Yeovil, signing a 3-year contract with the club this week.
Yeah, took over in December following Paul Sturrock's departure from the club. They've lost just 3 of their last 16 matches, and they look like a team who are down and out, and then now they've really pulled it back and look like they're going to stay in the Football League. But yeah, new 3-year contract for him. He's one manager of the month, I think, at one point during his time at Yeovil as well. So it all looks good for the future for Yeovil, and hopefully they can make their way back up the Football League ladder.
Yeah, well done to Yeovil and Darren Way signing that new contract this week. Next, we're going to be chatting ticket prices for away fans. Stay right there.
You're listening to the 72 Podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
This is the 72 Podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. Now, Tom, we can talk away ticket prices, and it comes after the QPR CEO, Lee Hughes, formerly of Leicester and Burnley, of course, as well, has come out and criticised the prices. Tell us more about this story and what he's had to say this week.
Yeah, it's coming at a time when the Premier League has decided that they're going to introduce the £30 cap on away tickets. Hughes has come out and said that he can see the prices constantly or keep rising in the Championship when they've taken no action on the away ticket cap, like the Premier League, and it could keep going up. And obviously QPR travelled to Leeds on Tuesday night, and some fans there could pay around £40 for a ticket to one Championship game, which seems a lot of money considering you've got to travel from London to Leeds as well. It's going to be a pretty expensive away day, particularly midweek.
It's fans having to pay some ridiculous prices. £40 for a ticket is pretty ridiculous. And of course, at the time with the 20s plenty campaign and all that, surely the Football League has to follow suit.
I think, yeah, because if you're paying £30 to go to Premier League grounds, and then you're paying £40 to go to, you know, like Elm Road to watch your team play Leeds, it doesn't really seem to add up when you're going to get a better quality of football in the Premier League. And like I said, I think the Football League need to follow suit and look at this and introduce a similar cap that obviously reflects the price of the Football League as opposed to the Premier League. Because I think having a similar cap when you can pay £30 in the Football League or £30 in the Premier League. It just doesn't seem to make sense for the improvement in the quality of football.
And of course the Premier League does have this huge wedge of cash knocking around, so it is quite easy just to say that. And some of the clubs are right in the Championship do have these big parachute payments and are big clubs and have rich owners and whatnot. But there is going to come a time where the football fan just becomes not really a regular and pick and chooses their games and really pretty much washes their hands with going to watch their team away.
Yeah, I think as well, if you take the £40 example, if you are paying £40, you've got to get to the game as well. You've got to obviously food, drink, whatever throughout the day. It's very expensive, and particularly if you've got, you know, a kid to take, etc., it's just like you said, you've got to pick and choose which games you go into, and it really shouldn't be like that. And not just away, but I think it's at home as well. There are some tickets that are just getting expensive at some grounds as well, where it shouldn't be a case of picking and choosing. You should be able to afford to follow your team every week.
Yeah, if you're going to an away game and you have a quick check of the prices, what figure puts you off? What if you're seeing there you're going away next week and there's a price there? What is it? What would you think then? Yeah, I don't know if I fancy that anymore.
I think for me, if it hits, maybe I look at it and once you're hitting 30, around 30, then that really puts me off particularly. Like I said, you've got to get to the game as well. It's just too much. It's just too much, really. And I just don't get the variation where some away games I've paid £10 to go and watch and others you're paying £35, £36. It just doesn't seem to make sense for what is the same league, and you're essentially watching your team, watching Leeds attempt to play football. It doesn't matter where I'm going, I'm going to be watching the same type of football.
Especially at this stage of the season now as well, where you've got just as many teams with absolutely nothing to play for than those at the top or the bottom that do. And you're still being made to pay these prices when pretty much you're seeing nothing football and other players ticking down to the summer or a few changes being made maybe and youngsters being blooded. So you're not actually seen anything that's given you much hope as a fan.
Yeah, you may as well, I think, there just lower the prices and just get it as full as you can, because like I said, if you've got nothing to play for, are people really going to carry on going as much as they were, say, a few months ago where you're potentially in a playoff race, etc.? I think it's different for teams at the top end than at the bottom end. You know, you look at the likes of Huddersfield where they're going to escape relegation, so I think fans will obviously go there to just cheer the team on as high as they could get. But when you've got playoff aspirations, promotion aspirations, and you don't make them, people aren't going to go to the game. So I think you should just lower the ticket prices to get people through the door.
Do you think we're going to see any change in the Championship or Football League in the near future?
I think so. I think the pressure, obviously, with the Premier League as well, the pressure coming there and the point of if the Premier League can do it, then why would you pay more to go and watch Football League? So hopefully they will, but I think it's got to reflect it and you've got to be looking at a £20-25 cap for the Football League.
Fingers crossed something gives. Next, we're going to be talking about some of the featured articles on the all-new shiny, the 72.co.uk.
All About the Game, the 72 podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire.
This is the 72.co.uk podcast. And Tom, we can talk now about some of the featured articles on the site this week. First up, it's Huddersfield Town and the Wagner Revolution. For people unfamiliar with what the Wagner Revolution is, tell us more.
Well, yeah, obviously the Wagner Revolution, as they've termed it in Huddersfield, obviously head coach David Wagner, when he came in, it was something new for Huddersfield to look abroad, to look at Europe and to get a head coach. And yeah, it's been obviously change at Huddersfield. It's been positive. Obviously, they're not flying high in the Championship, but they're in a much better position than they probably would be if they hadn't appointed Wagner. A couple of losses in the last couple of weeks, but then that big, big derby winner at Elland Road against Leeds, which is obviously good for the Huddersfield. Huddersfield
fans.
I can
tell you're in a good mood because that's not even hurting you.
I've just accepted it now. I've just accepted what happened and tried to move on. But yeah, for them, it's all positive, and not just on the pitch, but off it as well, with their low season ticket prices, which a lot of people have responded to, and links in quite well with the ticket prices bit we spoke about. So yeah, it seems very positive and, you know, on the up at Huddersfield Town under Wagner.
Yeah, there, it's not been quite a full revolution as yet. As you said there, there's been some not so good results. They've not beaten many of the top teams, if any at all, this season, which is something that's frustrating. There is a little bit of frustration amongst a small section of the supporters, but it does seem that this revolution is something that everyone's excited about to really get underway in the summer and see what David Wagner can do with the way he's going to change this side out. And I think for a long time, Huddersfield have been in need of quite a decent clear out, really.
Yeah, I think this season really was just to kind of stay up and then got the whole summer to rebuild, which hopefully they're going to do. I mean, talk about it a bit in the transfer section next, but Chris Lohr, they've already announced one sign-in from Germany, so it's that kind of excitement that they're getting players from abroad, from elsewhere, that fans may not necessarily know much about, but it still causes that excitement, kind of the unknown quality, and you trust Wagner and his knowledge of German football there, so that kind of signals their intent for the summer with signings like that, with the lower ticket prices. And I think this revolution is something that definitely should be watched next season.
Yeah, as a Leeds fan and in this West Yorkshire area, how do you feel about it when you look at just down the road and there seems to be this plan in place, the tickets have gone cheap, they've got a manager who's building for next season, and there's none of that at Leeds United?
As a Leeds fan, it's annoying. It's very annoying that you're watching the likes of Huddersfield, and then even like you look further down to South Yorkshire, Sheffield Wednesday, how well they're going as well, and the quality of players they've got. I think as a Leeds fan, it's annoying, and then particularly when they come to Elland Road in a derby and run away very convincingly. But as a football fan, I think it's exciting to watch a team like Huddersfield, who you kind of associate with the bottom end of the Championship. Mm. You know, probably won't go down, but they'll stay up, but won't come to much. And they've got someone in who's caused actual excitement, and you don't really know where they're going to finish next year. You are looking at them as a potential top half team.
Yeah, and without spending massive amount of money either, they're not going to go and blow the bank in the summer. They're just going to build sensibly.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as an away fan next year as well, or particularly going to watch Huddersfield, to have what the early indications are going to be pretty big crowds there with these lower ticket prices, lower season ticket prices, and a good team on the pitch, it should be a different Huddersfield Town next year. Well, on paper anyway.
Yeah, we shall see. It certainly seems exciting at Huddersfield Town. And Hull City, three contributing factors to Hull City's loss of form. Still in the promotion mix, but in fourth place at the moment. And, well, 7 points off the automatic spots, which is a huge gulf where you consider where they were a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Hull City, obviously one of those favourites to go straight back up when they came down from the Premier League. But yeah, one of the articles discussed three potential reasons as to why they've lost the form. First one being the uncertainty surrounding manager Steve Bruce. Obviously, when the Aston Villa job became available, he was heavily touted with getting that. And obviously, Hull wouldn't really want that to happen, particularly when Villa are very likely to be a Championship club next year. The other being a chaotic March fixture schedule and the high standard of the opposition that they have faced in March as well. Been a tough month for them. You know, you look at the likes of Middlesbrough, Birmingham, teams with promotion aspirations that they've really not got much from. So for them, it's been a difficult time. And obviously the next game is against the team we just discussed, Huddersfield away, where, you know, it's a difficult one to call. You don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah, especially after back-to-back defeats for Huddersfield. They've lost to Sheffield Wednesday and Middlesbrough in midweek. So this Wagner revolution, it does seem mixed form, but they do seem to pull a win out of the bag when you don't really expect it. So, for Hull City, it's a little bit worrying at the moment.
I think you look at the teams they've had recently, at least from now until the end of the regular season, they've got the likes of Huddersfield, as I spoke about. Then they've got Wolves, Reading, Leeds, Brentford, Bolton and Rotherham. All very winnable games for a team like Hull City. So at least for them, looking at automatics still, you know, they're still in with a shout of that. They've got a good chance with the opposition that they've got until the end of the season.
Yeah, we shall watch this space with Hull City, but certainly a long way to go in the promotion race in the Championship. Next, it's time to talk transfers.
We love the Football League, the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Transfer time on the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. And Tom, run us through some of these top stories. We'll start with Southend United.
Southend United, yeah. Attacking midfielder Jack Payne attracting interest from higher division clubs. Caught the interest of some Premier League and Championship clubs. I don't think they've been named yet, but there has been reports that they did have been watching. He's made 72 senior appearances for Southend, scored 16 goals for the club. And yeah, those performances this season have seen a number of scouts from Premier League and Championship clubs going to watch him. And should be an interesting one because he's only 21 years old as well. He's set to leave the club in the summer anyway, so he's still got his future ahead of him. And I think he's proved himself as a good League One player. So it should be interesting to see where he goes.
Yeah, interesting on that one. Another attacking midfielder that's been ripping up League One is Max Power, an eye-catching name, and he's got some eye-catching clubs linked with him.
Yeah, definitely. Max Power, I think, one of the favoured names in the Football League at the moment. He's been attracting interest from Portuguese side Sporting Lisbon. They reportedly send scouts to watch him in Wigan's 5-1 victory against Shrewsbury, and I think that was a good game for them to go and watch because he got himself an assist in that one. So not a bad game to be scouted in when your team's winning convincingly.
There you Huddersfield Town, we just talked about them, and the Wagner revolution continues with the signing of a new German defender.
Yeah, definitely. We mentioned him there. Chris Lurs coming from Kaiserslautern, Bundesliga 2 club. He's coming as a free agent in the summer when his contract's up. 26-year-old left back, and I think he's someone that Wagner knows quite well because he played for Dortmund and played a lot for their second side there at Dortmund, which Wagner was obviously the coach at, so he knows him very well. And like I said, it's pretty exciting for Huddersfield, someone who's made over 100 appearances for Kaiserslautern. It's something different, and it should be one to watch and to monitor his progress and see if he can really find that form that he's shown in Germany.
Yeah, certainly an interesting signing. And Arsenal attracts an interest in Adamola Luckman, who plays for Charlton.
Charlton, yeah. Adamola Luckman, he's been linked with some Premier League clubs, I think, previously in the last window, but Arsenal are still very interested in him. Featured in 16 games for Charlton this season, scoring 4 times, which isn't bad for an 18-year-old striker. So he's caught the eye of Arsenal, and they're pretty keen in bringing him in the summer. But I think there's another number of other Premier League clubs who are trying to get his signature as well, so he's another one to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, certainly going to be interesting this summer. Some clubs starting to look ahead already and get a couple of deals potentially lined up. And you can also check out all the action as well across the window in the Summer Transfer Centre.
The Summer Transfer Centre, the revamped 72 website.
Yeah.
There we are.
I thought you were going to tell us more, but there you go. You can log on.
Yeah, it's now. The transfers are right there, so that'll be good for the summer. You can go straight on the site, and just below the top stories, transfers are the first thing you'll see.
There you go. Right, next, we can look ahead to some big games this weekend, and it's the return of the Prediction League as well.
All about the game. The 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Time now to look ahead to some big games this weekend in the Football League. And, well, the Championship is hotting up, and we'll start with Burnley against Leeds, which is a lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. It's at Turf Moor. And, Tom, give us your thoughts on this one.
It's a difficult one to predict. And I think, just going back to the transfer section, I think that maybe that's why I've perked up a bit, because I noticed that there's no Leeds United news in the transfer bit. No youngsters leaving, so I think that's maybe why I'm a bit happier than usual. Yeah. But anyway,
is that because all the youngsters are underperforming in this Leeds side?
No, they're fine. Everything's fine. It's all going to be okay. Anyway, Burnley Leeds. Don't know if that's going to be as okay, but I don't know. Been watching Leeds this season, seem to perform a bit better against the teams at the top end than those around Leeds and below. So I'm not sure where this one's going to go. Obviously, Burnley looking to seal automatic promotion. They're doing very well at the moment, although a few draws in their last game. Three games, I think, three draws. So it's a difficult one to predict. But knowing Leeds, it seems like a type of game where Leeds might go and get something from it.
Potentially. I watched Burnley the last two games. The game on Brighton was also on Sky Sports, and went to Turf Moor to see the Cardiff game in midweek. Cardiff were very well set up, defended very well, as well frustrated Burnley. And that's now three back-to-back draws for Sean Dyche's side. Somewhat of a crisis at the top of the table. But I think Burnley in both of those games have created a lot of chances. They've been knocking on the door, maybe not played vintage football, but what they are doing, as I just said, is creating quite a bit, and they are getting their opportunities. And I think if the Cardiff centre-backs in particular weren't as good a form as they were on Tuesday night, Burnley would have come away with the 3 points. And having heard all the reports of Leeds' last few games, obviously the 4-1 defeat against Huddersfield, mistakes there against Rotherham as well, the likes of Belushi making mistakes. And again, midweek against QPR with a late error. Just that lapses in concentration that Leeds do have. I just cannot see how Burnley with Sam Vokes and Andre Gray and Ashley Barnes back in the mix as well do not come away by scoring two or three goals against Leeds at the weekend. Leeds will have to be at their very best to stop this Burnley team, in my opinion.
I think that's the one thing that does worry me, the defensive disasters. I think it's fair to say that Leeds have shown in recent weeks, and fairness, have shown throughout the season there has been cases of just defensively it's been terrible. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure where it's going to go. Obviously, I think the defensive side is what will let Leeds down. But going forward, I mean, Chris Wood got a goal. Fantastic ball in from Luke Murphy on that goal as well. But it's difficult. But like I said, Leeds away as well. Particularly, we seem to perform a bit better away than we do at home. But it just seems like the type of game that Leeds, even a point will do in this one. Leeds take a point all day long. It just seems like the type of game that Leeds would weirdly get something from.
Yeah, potentially, but that's not going to alter my prediction. I'm going 4-0. I know you've not put it in the prediction game league later on, but yeah, I'm going 4-0 to Burnley. I just think they're going to tear Leeds apart this weekend. I think after three draws, it's all going to fall right. Sorry. Can you give us a prediction?
2-1 Leeds, then. I'll say Leeds win. That's why I've not put it on the predictions thing, because I have to say Leeds will win. But I just can't see it, but I've got to say it. 2-1 Leeds.
There you go. That's how optimistic and happy Tom is today, predicting a Leeds win away at the league leaders. Fulham against Cardiff is another absolute cracker at this stage of the season. Fulham clawing themselves away from the bottom three. They've been unbeaten in the last three games. Back-to-back wins for them. And Cardiff still knocking on the door of the playoffs. 4 points away from Derby in six. And in a good run of form and a real good draw against Burnley in midweek.
Yeah, two teams who've still got obviously something to play for. We spoke about teams not really having stuff to play for, but these two teams don't fall into that category, but at different ends of the table. I think, like I said, Fulham have got a couple of good results, but they're still in that relegation mix, particularly with the MK Dons Rotherham game, where there are going to be points picked up there on that. And Cardiff, they're still in with a shout of making the top six. There's a bit of a gap emerging now, but a win here can close that. So it's going to be very, very good to watch. And Cardiff, for them, a good point at Burnley, a good point away, which is promotion form, obviously. If you can get points away and win your home games, then you're well in. So they'll be obviously looking for that bit more here.
Yeah, we'll hold fire on the predictions for this one. And Rotherham against MK Dons, a battle of the bottom down towards the end of the Championship. And Rotherham, as we know, been in fine form under Neil Warnock's management. And MK Dons, they're the ones that have now dropped into the bottom three. There are 7 points in it between them. Rotherham in 21st, just hovering above that relegation zone, and MK Dons in 22nd with 37 points. Do you think if Rotherham win this game, they're pretty much safe with the gap they'll open up?
I think so, yeah, with the amount of games left as well. But for this one, Milton Keynes, the MK Dons being at home as well, you've got to look at a win here can really close that gap and give them a good chance of survival, because I think this is the game at the time of the season that will decide the fate really of the MK Dons. If they lose this, like you said, Rotherham are safe, and I think the Dons are down. So obviously with Rotherham's good form, it's very hard to go against them, but then you've got to look at the situation, the time of the season this game comes, and the MK Dons will be eager, and I think they're going to have to get a win here to survive.
It's a fascinating game, this one. Has it been going too well for Rotherham?
I don't know.
Is he due a defeat?
Neil Warnock has just won Manager of the Month, and the Manager of the Month curse could well kick in here. And said if the MK Dons win it, that's 3 points from safety then, with Rotherham, the team above them. And if Bristol City, if Fulham can get or don't pick up anything as well, it throws it wide open. But a Rotherham win, I think it's all but over. And I think that's the end of the relegation battle.
Could well be. We'll get some predictions next when Radio Yorkshire's finest predictor, I think it's fair to say, Tom Feeney joins us in the studio.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Here we go. It's the business end of the show. As we get to the business end of the season, it's time for the Prediction League. Joining us in the studio now is Radio Yorkshire's Tom Feeney, the man, the predictor. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. I'm getting a bit nervous now. I'm getting these predictions ready.
Well, you've got a lot to do. The score's on the doors. We didn't do one last week because you weren't around, so we thought it's pretty much become your feature, really. So we felt bad about bringing someone else in, and then they did really well, and that just ruined everything. So the table as it stands is that I'm top, somehow, with 29 points. Tom Carndorff has 25 points in second place, and you, who pretty much more often than not have represented Radio Yorkshire with 17 points. 17 points. 8 points off Tom. 8 points.
Yeah, not too bad. I feel like I'm turning it around a little bit. Last few weeks I've done all right. I mean, a bit of teething problems at the start, but we're getting there now. I think this is going to be the biggest comeback since Leicester City.
Well, you're in double figures now. That's all I can say. And well, because we didn't have it last week, Tom, we're going to make this a double points
double
week.
Double pointer. This could be Tom Feeney's turning point if he gets all 18.
Yeah, this could change everything. Are you ready, Tom?
No,
you...
it's not it could. It will.
We've got three games to look ahead to. We've talked about a couple of them so far as well. MK Dons against Rotherham, Fulham against Cardiff, and Sheffield United against Gillingham are our three predictor matches. We'll start with MK Dons against Rotherham. It's a win for Rotherham, Tom Feeney. Could maybe see them safe with the gap they'll open up against the MK Dons. It's 21st versus 22nd, a huge clash at the bottom end of the Championship.
Massive game, and when you look at Rotherham United, obviously Neil Warnock, the manager of the month, what a job he's done, because when Warnock took over, it looked like these two teams were both goners, really. But Rotherham have turned it around. And I've just got a feeling Rotherham are going to keep this run going. I'd like to see him stay in the Championship just because Neil Warnock's done such a great job. So I'm going to say Rotherham will win this one 2-0. Oof.
Carndorff?
Spoke about this one. We just previewed it in the last section where I think manager of the month curse is going to kick in a bit for Warnock. And I think with MK Dons is looking and fighting for survival, I'm going to say 1-1 draw.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I'm going to go for MK Dons then.
Ooh.
I think it's gone too well for Neil Warnock so far. The results have been absolutely impeccable so far, but there has to be the one where it just goes wrong, and in a game of this magnitude, MK Dons, everything will be on the line. So I'm going to go 2-1 MK Dons. I think they do it. We'll drop into League One very briefly and do Sheffield United against Gillingham. Tom Carndorff, we'll start with you.
Well, both teams have been a bit hit and miss. Sheffield United, it seems to be win-lose recently for them. Gillingham, they've still got promotion, obviously aspirations still in the playoff places for Sheffield United. I think it might be a bit too much for them to reach the top six at the moment, particularly when you look at the likes of Millwall and how they're going. You never know with Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, but I think Gillingham are going to come in and nick 3 points. So I'm going to say 2-1 Gillingham.
I mean, you know, looking at Sheffield United, they've got to win every game from now to have any chance of getting into the playoffs. Nigel Adkins, still in his pre-match presses, is saying he thinks the side can do it. And I think they'll win this one. And I'm going to say 3-0 to Sheffield United. I think Gillingham, because they're in that playoff place, it's mainly down to their home form. Away from home at times, I've seen them play. And I think defensively they can be a little bit vulnerable.
Interesting stuff. And so I'm going to go for a draw. I think that ends Sheffield United's playoff ambitions, if they do have any left, and Gillingham just keep themselves in the mix. So I'm going to go 1-1 on that one. And we'll jump back finally to the Championship. Fulham against Cardiff. Cardiff, of course, chasing the playoffs. Fulham have all but pretty much avoided relegation with the last couple of results. Tom, what do you think?
Well, I think results-wise, Fulham will be, you know, well, they won't be pleased with where they are, but obviously it could have been a whole lot worse over the last couple of weeks. Things have gone their way. But I look at Cardiff, I think they're a team who, you know, they've got to win this one, in my opinion. I think for Fulham, not really must win, because I think they will get a couple more points down the road, which will make sure they stay up. So I'm going to say 3-2 to Cardiff.
I was thinking along the same lines. I was thinking high scoring as well. Obviously, Fulham, they do look pretty safe now, depending on the MK Dons Rotherham result. But Cardiff, I think promotion aspirations are still there, and they're going to have to win games like this against Fulham to achieve a playoff place. I'm going to say 3-1 to Cardiff.
3-1. Cardiff scoring goals. I'm going to go the other way. Fulham are the ones with the goal scorers. McCormack, 21 goals. Dembele, 14 goals this season. No one at Cardiff's got double figures yet. So I'm going to go for Fulham to come out on top. 2-1. Double points week, remember. Double points week. A lot at stake on the 72 podcast. Two Toms, thank you very much for your time. And thank you at home for listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. Make sure you go online and check out this brand new new look website at the 72.co.uk. It's looking good.
Looks
just like
good,
Tom Carnduff.
Oh, thank you.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.